Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Metal Hammer Podcast. It's episode 147. I am Mo from Metal Hammer Magazine and other Metal Hammery things. Hello to you. And hello to my lovely co-star, that's a bit arrogant, co-presenter, Eleanor Goodman, also of Metal Hammer. All right, El?
I want to be a star, so leave
You're
it as co-star.
You're a star to me, El.
Thanks,
always.
Elle.
The latest issue of Metal Hammer is out right now. It's our huge new heavy celebration, celebrating all the most exciting young bands in and around the metal scene. Four exclusive covers out to get right now in shops across the UK. Twin Temple, The Who, Heilung and Alien Weaponry, four brilliant young bands that we want to celebrate and put on your attention immediately. So you can go get those in shops right now. We also have a bundle available for each of those bands, which you can buy right now from Magazines Direct or from tinyurl.com/gethammer. The Twin Temple bundles actually sold out very, very quickly. So thanks to everyone who supported us by picking up one of those. We've still got a few bundles for The Who, not many Who ones left at all, actually. So get on that if you're thinking about getting them. Comes with an awesome face mask. You can't get that set anywhere else. And there's also an Alien Weaponry bundle that comes with a really cool pedant. Pedant doesn't come with a pedant. That'd be ridiculous.
A pedant.
Just some annoying little dude just picking you up on everything you say wrong. No, the Alien Weaponry bundle comes with a pendant, exclusive design. And the Heilung one comes with a colouring book, which is metal as fuck. And each of those also come with an exclusive cover you can't get anywhere else. There's only 200 of each bundles ever made. And once they're gone, they are very much gone. As I said, the Twin Temple ones are now history. You can't get them. They're all gone and on their way to fans. So if you want to get one of those other bundles, pick them up while you can. tinyurl.com/gethammer. is a place to get all of those. We had some bum news that hit us just as we were about to start recording. God, sorry, it's 5 p.m. I'm tired. Please excuse my fucking word diarrhea. Just as we were about to kick off the podcast, Glastonbury released the maybe not massively surprising, but still pretty crap news that there will be no Glastonbury Festival this year. It is postponed to next year. Obviously there's a lot of questions this has now raised about festivals across the summer. Glastonbury by far the biggest one in the game, but there are a lot of similarly sized festivals out there as well that now maybe are looking a little bit uncertain in light of all this. Download have actually tweeted something out just about an hour or two ago saying that there are still plans for Download to go ahead and they're working very hard to make that happen. But yeah, no Glastonbury, Al. Bit of a bummer, but I kind of feel like at this point, maybe we weren't too surprised given the state of the pandemic as it is right now.
No, and Glastonbury is a whole city. If you've been there, you'll know you go there and it takes you hours to walk from one side of the site to the other. I can't imagine how they could have an event of that scale in the current climate.
Yeah, it sucks, but it's for the best. They've kind of emphasized that they just couldn't work out a way to do it that was COVID safe, and that has to be the priority at the end of the day because the pandemic is still in a very difficult stage at the moment. So obviously any more news on any of the other major festivals, especially all the rock and metal festivals happening or due to take place this year, we will let you know. Stay tuned to metalhammer.com for any news on all of that. And I know it's not the news that we wanted to hear, probably news a lot of us were expecting, but obviously we just have to get through this fucker of a situation first before we can resume all the very greatest stuff that we love to do the most. And if the pandemic scuppering the music industry wasn't enough this week, we are also seeing the ongoing shit show that is Brexit continue to just cause all sorts of problems. And chief among those for many is this ongoing issue surrounding visas and working artists and bands. Now members of Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Queen and The Who have joined the likes of Iron Maiden, Radiohead, Sex Pistols, Elton John, a ton of leading figures from the music industry in accusing the government of shamefully failing British musicians in being able to strike a Brexit deal which would make people, which will make it easy for bands to tour Europe. Obviously, this is a massive, massive deal, not just for the fact that music rules and we all love music, but for the fact that it is a huge and vital part of the economy. And it just seems insane that this hasn't been able to be sorted out. But there we go. And now Roger, Robert Plant, Roger Walters, Brian May and Roger Daltrey, leading figures in the British rock scene, of course, have now all co-signed an open letter attacking the government's negotiating failure in Brexit talks with the EU. So this is an ongoing situation now where the future of British artists performing across Europe looks increasingly uncertain. And it's just absolute bullshit that this isn't getting sorted out, isn't it? I don't understand how this has just been so recklessly overlooked.
It's embarrassing and it's really, really sad and depressing and angry making all at the same time. Shameful.
Yeah, it's just bollocks, isn't it? Absolute bollocks. And again, didn't want to start the podcast with like, you know, loads of like, oh, everything's shit kind of news, but you know, it's hard to avoid this stuff. And look, I know there's a lot of people out there that have, I'm sure, voted for Brexit and listened to this podcast and everything else, read the magazine. I'm sure, you know, we've got emails from people that sometimes get annoyed when we talk about this stuff or criticize this stuff. But at the end of the day, like, you know, we're talking about the livelihood of thousands upon thousands of people, not to mention, as I said, a vital part of the economy, a vital part of British culture. Is really under threat by this situation not getting resolved, and it's just not good enough, and it's just bullshit. And you know, I know a lot of people, we both know a lot of people in the music industry that are absolutely fed up with this situation, so hopefully it can still be resolved. You know, Robert Plant and Brian May got involved, so hopefully that's a good sign that people are taking it seriously. I did find it interesting that Roger Daltrey from The Who had kind of got involved in this as well, because I know he was on record as kind of not really seeing what all the fuss was about with Brexit. And I guess maybe that's kind of an indication of how increasingly sour this whole situation has turned, that even he's kind of come back in and gone, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah, it's chickens coming home to roost, isn't it? But if the government take notice of anyone, maybe it'll be, you know, the canonized older white men of the rock generation, as opposed to the younger, angry generation that they don't take seriously. Maybe it has to come from people who look like them and sound like them for them to do something. I don't care who it comes from. I just want them to sort it out.
Agreed. Look, and like, I can't believe that anybody has... I mean, I'm sure anyone that's voted Remain is not happy about this, but I cannot believe that anyone who is any kind of music fan that has voted Leave or Remain, quite frankly, could be happy with this situation. So hopefully it gets sorted out soon, because it's fucking bullshit. And I know we don't kind of go into those kind of rants on this podcast much, but it is bullshit. And everyone listening to this podcast wants bands to do well. And we need this to be sorted for that to continue to happen for bands from the UK. So someone please sort it out, please, because it's bullshit. John Schaffer has been arrested. Hooray! I can't believe that's the good news.
Yeah, he handed himself over, I believe, didn't he?
Oh, okay, cool.
I think he did. Yeah, he handed himself in. He's facing 6 criminal charges. Good, obviously, good. In case you don't know, he was part of the mob that stormed the Capitol building and that whole thing that happened.
You may have heard about that thing. And by the way, me saying, oh cool, I'm not being like, oh cool, good on John, like, you know, it's the bare fucking minimum you can do when you've been caught literally on camera doing something so heinous. So
he's gonna face the law.
And yeah, and I honestly don't want to, we talked about him a lot last week on the podcast, and I don't really want to give him any more airtime, so fuck him, bye. Onwards.
AFI. I last week, actually, I didn't get to listen to it, so I'll have that to look forward to.
Yeah, me and Steve laid down a few truth bombs
about, did you? The, okay.
About the situation. Well, opinion bombs.
Did you call them truth bombs?
No, we didn't, because we're not like that. No, they were kind of, you know, we anyway. You can go, if you want to hear our thoughts on that, you can go and listen to last week's podcast. I just don't want to keep on talking about this guy because it's just depressing and ridiculous. In better news, AFI have new music out, one of the greatest bands of all time, literally ever, in my opinion. They put out two new tracks, Escape from Los Angeles and Twisted Tongues, very much in the same vein of the Blood album, which came out a few years ago. They've really kind of hit into this great stride of that kind of 80s tinged post-punk kind of vibe that they're in now, and I think they're absolutely brilliant at it, so I'm all here for it, quite frankly.
It's so 80s. Twisted Tongues I prefer to Escape from Los Angeles. I thought Escape from Los Angeles felt a little bit weak. I think when you're in the kind of right mindset and they just come on your playlist, it's really enjoyable.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoyed it a lot. And I agree with your takes. System of a Down vocalist Serge Tankian has shared, I don't know why, this is what happens when I read straight from the website, as if you don't know who Serge Tankian is, but Serge from System of a Down has shared the first trailer for Truth to Power. I didn't even know this was happening.
Yeah, you did. We talked about this last year.
Did we?
You definitely knew about this, yeah.
God, yeah, we've talked about this.
Your mind is a pool of goo right now. My mind is a pool of goo right now. You'll see why in a few weeks when you.
It literally is. We put our latest issue to bed, and without giving too much away, for recent issues and things that have happened in metal, it was very emotional and a lot of kind of unexpected last minute work that's gone into it. So we'll reveal that soon. But yeah, it has left us feeling a little bit. It's been a weird old start to the year for metal, let's put it that way. So
I feel like your mouth is going like faster than your brain at the moment, but it feels like you're on some kind of word roller coaster that you can't get off.
Exactly.
But yeah, we did know about this documentary, but you can go on metalhammer.com now. You can see the trailer for Truth to Power. It's a documentary about Serge Tankian's life. It's exploring his, this is in quotation marks, journey through the turbulent intersection of music and activism over three decades. It takes you through LA clubs through to the centre of the 2018 Armenian Revolution. I had a quick look at the trailer, actually, and it looks like it's been sort of made by Serge Tankian's own company and Live Nation, but it's also got an executive producer credit. I can't talk now. An executive producer credit for Joe Berlinger, who's worked on quite a lot of rock-flavoured films in recent years. So it's probably going to be quite interesting. The trailer kind of shows a bit of a snippet of an interview with him and also kind of footage from various gigs and that kind of thing. So I'm curious to see how they're going to trace this path through and this narrative. And if it is just, sort of a biopic of Serge Tankian, or if there are kind of wider narrative themes that come out about the nature of activism, about the nature of music.
Yeah, I'm really interested in it. And thank you, Al, for putting the brakes on my brain roller coaster. but yeah, I am really interested in this. I think with System of a Down, because they have such a distinct personality and their story is so kind of fascinating in of itself. I don't really know a whole lot about each individual member's early days as much. They're one of those bands where it's kind of like their story appears fully formed in my mind, them all kind of meeting at high school and starting a band together. And so I'm interested to see more of Serge's journey for sure. I think he remains the most interesting member of System of a Down to me, especially when you look at all the different things he's been doing in the last few years. Instead of making a new album. But yeah, he's never kind of left behind his kind of his priorities, which have always been about shedding lights on injustice and promoting activism and everything else. So I'm really looking forward to this, even though I forgot that I'd already heard about it up until today.
Yeah, I'm curious. I guess because it's made by his company and Live Nation, but Joe is involved as well. I'm kind of curious to see how much of an outside voice there is, whether it's kind of Serge Tankian by Serge Tankian or whether it's like a portrait of Serge Tankian by someone else. So all these things for me just make it super fascinating. And it's out on February 19th. I Googled where I could watch it. And I think it might be coming out online on that day, but it was difficult to find the info. February 19th, so hopefully we can all watch it.
Nice. And you can see the trailer right now on metalhammer.com. Right, album of the week. One of the most unique and fascinating bands in the metal world. One of the many bands which have just become almost inexplicably huge within the metal scene, despite not actually playing metal in of itself. I'm talking about Wadruna, and this is their fifth album titled, you told me how to pronounce it off air, but I've forgotten already.
Wait, well, so it's Norwegian and it's Kvitraven, but it means white raven, which is probably nice. Easier to us to use rather than just mashing Norwegian into the ground with our terrible accents.
That's fine. But like, we'll call it White Raven from here on in.
But that's actually been... So Ina Selvik, the main man behind Wadruna, it's his baby, really. His artist name has always been White Raven. So he told us... I mean, you can read about this soon in Metal Hammer, but he told us that the album is named after the ideas that made him take the stage name rather than the stage name itself. Should I go into those ideas, Merlin?
Well, we can kind of expand upon them a little bit. As you said, there's going to be more on that front in time to come. I just think this whole band are fascinating. And one of their kindred spirits in Heilung is obviously one of the bands on the cover of Metal Hammer right now. There's been a huge movement in these kind of earthy, tribalistic pagan bands that have just dominated the underground scene in recent years, and Wadruna were kind of a part of that world and leading that world way before anyone else came onto the scene, really. Their roots go back as far as I think maybe 2003, certainly the early 2000s, they've had a run of albums since around 2009 that's now brought us to this point. And it's just so interesting to me that this band are just at the point they're at now, because they stand as one of the foremost bands in all of alternative music, despite playing something that isn't even really rock music, let alone metal. And Elle, you've listened to a lot more of this band than I have. I find them interesting. I can't say I listen to them a whole bunch, but I certainly find their story fascinating. What are you kind of saying about this record in particular, White Raven?
Well, I guess just for a bit of background, I heard Wadruna first about a decade ago. They started off this series of three albums, a trilogy, you might call it, based on runes and based on the oldest set of runes called the Elder Futhark. And each rune has a character which corresponds to a sound and a trait. And it was kind of looking at this sort of Norse mythology and bringing these things to life through various instruments that were sort of traditional instruments mixed with found instruments and the sounds of nature, like animals and that kind of thing. It had this very, like you said, Merlin, it had this very kind of earthy vibe. So White Raven is the first record that he's done that isn't part of the trilogy. It's very much the same kind of sound. You will recognize it as being Wadruna because they are very distinctive. But rather than looking at runes, it's kind of examining our relationship with nature and as human beings, how connected or disconnected we are from nature. And there's a song on there that's very explicit, which the English translation for it is song hunting. And it's about going into basically the woodlands, walking around, being open to how the nature makes you feel. And then he does that, and then he goes back to the studio and tries to remember those feelings, sensations and thoughts and kind of get them into a song. And that's sort of what you can kind of extrapolate from that, sort of how the rest of the album goes, because there's all these kind of different songs based on various nature-based traditions. To kind of look back at these traditions and reframing them in a modern context and seeing what we can take from them, which is kind of the raison d'etre of Wadruna. But because of that, it's very, it feels very primal. There are lots of very strong drum beats. There's kind of some of the singing is sort of more intoned rather than sung. They do take you on this journey from top to bottom when you put on the record. If Jonathan was here, he'd say it makes you feel like you're on another plane, I would think, or it transports you to another place. It sucks you into this very hypnotic world where you do feel like maybe your breathing slows down or it speeds up, or you react to it in quite a physical way, or at least I do, as well as in sort of a mental way. So it's, yeah, like I said, you can kind of read more of this probably coming up in Metal Hammer. But that's kind of it in a nutshell. It's a very powerful record, and it's very interesting to see what he's done after the work with the runes. I'm curious to see where they'll take the project next.
Yeah, it's just I know I keep being like, oh, that's such a fascinating band, but it's just we use the kind of phrase like unexpected success story and that kind of thing, unlikely success story and all that kind of stuff quite a lot, because metal is an outsider genre and it embraces the unusual. And so you do see a lot of these bands that you just never would envision getting big, getting huge. But Wardruna and Heilung and this kind of generation of neo-pagan kind of folk bands, I guess, is the best succinct way to generalize them. It's just amazing to me, and I think this is going to go down as one of the biggest records of 2021. And if you haven't heard Wardruna yet, absolutely check this out when it comes out on Friday. It's called Kutraven/White Raven.
Maybe spell it for people.
Oh yeah. So it's Kvitraven, but you know how to use the internet. Look up Wardruna, you'll find it. So yeah, that's out tomorrow. Fascinating album from a great, great, great band, and you should support them because they are very good. And I think we might be doing, yeah, as Elle said, we've got something else coming up with them very soon. In fact, we might have numerous cool things coming up with them soon if all goes to plan. So we're very, very excited about all things Wardruna this year. Let's do some reader questions. You know where they're from. Facebook.com/metalhammerreaders if you want to come and join the fun and games. David English says, what?
And the games.
Yeah, we can do games. I can introduce games. It can happen. We did actually. I did do a during the early days of the pandemic. I did actually do a Metal Hammer Readers Mario Kart Switch session. So shout out everyone who took part in that. Maybe we could do another one soon. David English says, what are your views and observations on the growing links between the streaming and metal community? So we are seeing a lot more metal personalities, bands, musicians, and just kind of, dare I say, influencers appearing on things like Twitch and YouTube with more regularity now. Is Mel a bit late to the party? Is it good that we're finally kind of seeing more of this stuff from our community now?
Yeah, it is good. I think any ways for people to interact with their favorite artists is a cool thing. And we're in an age where you can't do like a meet and greet or a special intimate show or anything like that. So streaming can help keep people close at a time when people are forced to be apart. And you can see really interesting things coming out of it as well. Like, we always talk about Matt Heafy, but he was basically the first one to the Twitch party. He's been doing it for a while, and he's been helping fellow musicians in this pandemic kind of come on and use it as well. And we were going to talk about this last week, and maybe you talked about it with Steve, I think. But Matt Heafy did an EP with Jared Dines, the guitarist, and Jared is very much from the internet world, and Matt Heafy kind of is from the traditional getting in a band, getting signed to a label world, and kind of came to the internet later. So it's really interesting to see how they fuse their styles together and make this EP that's kind of part guitar solo, part riffs, part lyrics that are kind of personal and a bit angsty. And you can kind of feel like the chemistry between them. It feels fun, even though they're sort of talking about serious subjects in some of the songs, like anxiety. And it's kind of cool that you can get, basically an internet guitarist together with a sort of, I'll just say, like traditional guitarists, because Trivium came in around the early 2000s, and then they can like fuse their styles together and make something cool. And that's the great thing about having different communities online. It just opens up the opportunity for collaboration and to take things into different territories. So yeah, I mean, I'm all for streaming. I think you could maybe get to a point where somebody is overexposed in a sense, where if they're sort of putting out too much content, then maybe it becomes something that you're less keen about. Whereas when it's less often, it's something that you would maybe get a bit more excited and look forward to. But I think it honestly depends on your relationship with that band or that band member and how much you like them and how much you want to support them. So I think overall, yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah, and I mean, stuff like Twitch especially, it's all about kind of communities there, isn't it? And I think especially during lockdown, You know, I don't do a ton of stuff, or I don't do anything on Twitch, but I don't use Twitch a ton. But even just with things like when I'm doing regular gaming with my mates and stuff, like, it's almost like you can't get enough of that stuff, really, because it's just nice to be able to just jump on and interact with people. And Twitch is definitely the best kind of platform for that. And yeah, like you said, Heafy's just doing stuff literally every day for it. So it's just kind of this kind of all-encompassing, infinite platform that's been created, and it works very well. Other streaming services are available, obviously, by the way.
I think Coda were doing a lot on Discord at one point, weren't they, as well?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people still do Discord as well. Yeah, I mean, I go on Discord whenever I'm doing some gaming stuff. I've got a little Rocket League Discord crew that we'll jump on with. So, yeah. Technology being used for good stuff is always nice, I guess. Andrew Brown says, was there really a metal downturn in the mid-90s? Evidence for and against?
I mean, I feel like everybody always says there was and like makes a big deal out of it, but really they're probably just talking about thrash metal and kind of classic metal stuff like Iron Maiden, you know, like obviously kind of bands like that saw a bit of a downturn, and thrash went a bit like wonky and we lost some bands by the wayside and that kind of thing. Like obviously that was a thing, but then we had like groove metal, grunge, which I'd still class as being metallic. If you look at the likes of Alice in Chains and Soundgarden, hardcore, rise of new metal, not to mention the kind of rise of the alternative subculture as well. That was very kind of 90s moving into the like this century. I love the 90s. It's a great period for music. It felt like heavy music was really diverse and interesting, and there were loads of really interesting characters and people knocking around. So, yeah, maybe it was bad for a couple of genres, but, I mean, you still have, like, classic metal and thrash now. There are still bands around from back in the day that survived, and we've seen quite a lot of them reuniting in recent years as well. You know, I'm not saying it's cool that they fell by the wayside, but I kind of feel like things have come back around a little bit as well. That was a long answer.
Andrew wanted, but yeah, I think that, yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I mean, yeah, heavy metal kind of was just, I know there's exceptions and there's always people going, well, actually, like Dio had some more albums out in that decade, but it's just like, yeah, like you said, compared to where everything is at now, and you've got like bands, I mean, even fucking, I was about to say even Metallica, what am I talking about? Metallica had an amazing 90s, but like Metallica kind of returns to more thrashier sounds in the last couple of albums. And then you've got bands like Testament, Megadeth, Anthrax. They've all put out fucking unreal records in the 21st century. And that's just the start. But in the 90s, yeah, most of those bands were struggling. Many of bands tried to experiment and it didn't go great. Looking at like Risk by Megadeth. Slayer kind of tried to go a bit nu metal for a bit. It all went a bit weird. But in terms of just the quality of actual albums and bands that kind of formed and reached peak form in that decade, it was a fucking unbelievable decade. Plus Metallica were most interesting in the 90s. There, I said it.
Can I just say that I like new metal Slayer as well, even though they didn't really like it and no one really liked it. I think it's quite good.
Why the fuck not? New metal Slayer rules. You should do the next one, Elle, because this is you. This is a bit of you, this is.
Oh, yeah, it is. Tom George McHugh asks, have any of you tried the Mongolian dumplings inspired by The Who, featured in a Metal Hammer issue last year? I keep meaning to make them, but... And then it ends.
Well, I haven't, I have to say, because I'm crap at cooking. I'm actually part of the Metal Hammer and Classic Rock.
You've got it wrong. What? It's not Metal Hammer and Classic Rock. It's a WhatsApp group. And it's called Meal Hammer Classic Cook.
God, that's bad. Who named that?
Briony.
Briony.
It's a cooking group between Metal Hammer and Classic Rock where we share pictures of things we've made.
Yeah, and Jane from Total Film's in there as well. It's multi-genre and multi-
I think we added Total Film, but I can't remember what we called them. They had a stupid name as well. Meal Hammer Classic Cook and... I think it was Total Flan, was it?
Oh, my God. Awful. Yeah, but yeah, I was gonna say I'm in that group. I basically just lurk because I can't cook for shit for them. Oh, I did make a very nice chili yesterday, actually, I have to say, but generally speaking, I can't cook as well as everyone else in that group. So no, I have not attempted dumplings. That feels well out of my remit, to be honest.
I really want to make them, but I need one of those steamer things that you use to make them, and I haven't got one, so that's held me back. So I need to go and just like buy one of those. I do post in the Meal Hammer Classic Rock group, but my stuff is very basic compared to some of the members in there. I just posted some soup in there yesterday, and that was just literally some vegetables in a pan blended together. Pretty
You
basic.
make some nice cookies as well.
Oh yeah, I made a giant cookie. That was amazing. An amazing giant cookie full of chocolate chips. So good.
What could be better? What?
I'm gonna make another one. I should make it metal. I should line up the chocolate chips to do like throwing the horns or 666 or something. I don't know why I've not done that yet.
Me either, quite frankly. Pathetic making these juvenile cookies with no satanic imagery
I'm gonna do
on. What's
it. I'm
the
gonna
point?
make a massive cookie and I'm gonna make it satanic.
Yeah, chocolate chip pentagram. Come on, it's got to happen.
Yeah.
Aidan Delaney says, when listening to a new album, how far in do you go before making a judgment on it? Will you always listen to it all the way through? I could tell you right now, we definitely don't do that. Or just stop after two or three songs. Actually, to be fair, when I read this, I thought he meant brand new bands, but he's just saying new album. So I guess it depends. If it's an album by an artist I love or is massively important to the magazine or to metal in general, I'll give it at least one proper go all the way through. I mean, if like, I don't know, Baroness put an out, sure, I'm not going to be like, I like it out. What happens?
You just froze and you turned into a robot.
Oh, sorry. Am I okay now?
Yeah, you're okay now.
I'm back from the future. It's because I started talking about Baroness and it caused a cognitive dissonance in the universe.
I do listen to albums all the way through, except if somebody goes, "You need to listen to this album or you will hate this album," then I may only listen to a couple of tracks. Like sometimes somebody will talk about a record and they'll be like, "Oh, there's this new grindcore record about like killing fish or something," and I'll be like, "Well, I'll listen to a song if I have to, but I'm not going to listen to the record."
Because it's about killing fish and Elwynn Manor. Yeah, I
Exactly.
mean, if it's a brand new band, if it's someone that's really highly recommended by someone, you know, I trust, or someone who's a friend, or you know, someone that's, I kind of feel like there's a, you know, it's more than just, hey, this band's quite good, then obviously give it a proper go. But if it's literally just like a random band I've stumbled across, then yeah, just a song or two, really. I mean, if you're really not into certain types of metal or rock or whatever, it's not going to take you that long to know if something just doesn't feel like it's for you. Obviously, we're very lucky to get an absolute shit ton of stuff put our way in terms of new bands and everything else. So we kind of blaze through as much as we can, but you know.
I'm not really into grindcore, which is kind of like why I mentioned that. But I was talking yesterday on WhatsApp with someone. Do you remember that band called Milking the Goat Machine?
No.
I remember them. They had a load of really, really stupid song titles and album titles and artwork and stuff. So I just remember them, but I haven't thought about them for like 5 years. And I was texting my friend. They were talking about like King Goat or something. And I was like, "Do you remember Milking the Goat Machine?" And apparently their latest album has a song called Milking Me Softly, and it has another song called Under Pressure. But my friend thought that they sounded like very conflicting messages, because if you're milking me softly and you're under pressure, it's not going to work, is it?
I think I said I felt my soul left my body when you said those song titles. That
Maybe
is,
mean somebody's doing something creative.
well, okay, fine, good for them. I fully support any band's right to be as painfully unfunny as they want. Like,
Yay. I was like, do you
completely.
think I'm going to listen to those songs, even though I don't like their genre?
I completely support their right to do that. Oh my God, what the hell was that?
What have you done?
I just kind of set off the themes. Did you hear that for your computer?
No.
Oh, good. Never mind. I think I just set off the theme song. And then they tried to cut me off. They tried to cut me off before I was finished, damn it.
What are you talking about? Do I need to, like, get a cookie sent round to your house or something?
No, I was just trying to be snide and try to almost start editing the podcast while we were still recording it. So I was just chucking the theme song around and it popped up and started playing and I panicked because I didn't know if it would record it or not. So
Fuck's sake.
if you just heard that, then I'm sorry, I messed it up. If you didn't hear that, then I just sound like an absolute babbling idiot, which has been a theme for most of this week's show. So
Stop
there you go.
talking. Stop
Cheers.
talking. now.
I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to go to bed. I'm tired. Listen, thanks to everyone who's tuned in this week. Thanks to everyone who's picked up the latest issue. I really appreciate the support. We really appreciate the support, especially in what is an increasingly insane and difficult world. So it means a lot that we can do all this stuff for you and still create these magazines, create this podcast, got all this cool stuff going up on the website. There is so much more of it to come. We've got big, big plans for the year ahead, and you'll start seeing some of those very, very soon. So in the meantime, I'm going to go to bed.
I'm going to listen to Milking the Goat Machine.
Oh, you do that.
I will.
You do that. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next week. Take care. Goodbye.
Goodbye.